And joining us from the Flathead County MSU Extension Office, we have Extension Agent Ashley Darick. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Nice to have you here.
Yeah. So today you're going to talk to us about herbs.
Yes. So the harvest of the month for September is herbs.
Herbs.
Yeah, which is a great addition to any kitchen. It's the leaves or flowers of certain plants that are used for flavor, for fragrance, and medicinal purposes.
Aha. So what kind of herbs are available to us here in Montana?
Okay, so most grocery stores, especially here in the Flathead Valley, have a variety of herbs available. Some are fresh, mm-hmm. others are dried. Farmers markets have some, and people are able to grow some in their own garden, depending mm-hmm. or in their indoors. There's lots of different options for sourcing different herbs that families can use.
Okay. We've been doing this the last couple of years, and boy, it's neat to be able to just go out and slice a couple off the vine and put them in a salad or use it in a recipe that we're creating. But what about after the season's over?
Okay, so let's talk about storage of the herbs. So it's best to kind of harvest the herbs when they're free of defects. You know, they're just in really prime condition.
Yeah.
And there's different ways. So you gently wash them and dry them. And you can store them in a glass jar with about an inch of water. Instead of a regular lid, you would use like a plastic bag and put that in the refrigerator. And that would last about a week. So whether you harvest it from the garden or purchase fresh herbs from a store, mm-hmm. That will preserve it for about a week. But after that...
Okay, so the herbs are like leaves. You're washing them when they're still in leaf form. And then when you say drying them, you're letting the moisture go away. But are you crumbling them at that point too?
Not at that point. Oh, nope. Okay. That's just to wash any kind of debris that might be on them from the garden or from the grocery store. So you're just gently washing them. That's not the drying stage yet. So okay. If you're not going to use them within a week, then you're going to want to either dry them or freeze them.
Okay, now basil, that's an herb, right?
Yes.
And we commonly use it in
sure.
its full form. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
all right.
But there's two. We got two things going on here. First of all, if you're going to use it in about a week or so, you can just put it in the fridge and, you know, in the water and let it just sit, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And
but
it stays fresh.
If we need to keep it around longer than that, then we get into the next process. Let's start with drying.
Drying. Okay. So the drying process is recommended that you dry in small batches, and mm-hmm. so you would kind of tie a few stems together in a small bunch, and you can either place it in a warm, dry location until it fully dries, or you can place it in a dehydrator and dry it that way as well. So once it's fully dried, you can crumble it up and then store it in an airtight container, away from heat and away from sunlight, and it will last about a year.
Okay, now drying, it can be inside of a little mesh sack or something like that so the air circulates.
That's one method of doing it. As long as the air is able to get into it and it fully is able to dry. I know sometimes just hanging it in a clean area that's warm.
We just hang it upside down from a closet space in the basement.
Let's all the goodies settle into the leaves that way.
Well, no, it just dries.
Yeah, it just dries. And so one way, so that herb will last, you know, through the winter months when you're not able to have access to your own mm-hmm. fresh herbs, but also it's more concentrated. So 1 teaspoon of dried herbs is the equivalent of 3 teaspoons of fresh herbs. So it just kind of,
wow.
you know, makes it a little more compact, easier to store, easier to use for some families.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was that formula again?
1 teaspoon of dry herbs
right.
is usually the equivalent of 3 teaspoons of fresh herbs. So you would need more of the fresh herbs, to meet the same, you know, the flavor mm-hmm. requirements of the dry herbs in a cooking dish. Mm-hmm. It's great for garnishes, cooking it in the food. So there are some differences between herbs. So what the growing, you know, how they're grown and how you use them, it's kind of dependent on what the herb is. So definitely do your research. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to go over, but one thing, there are some hardier herbs, and then there are more more delicate herbs. So some herbs, such as basil, chive, cilantro, dill, mint, margarine, and sage, if they're going to be used in hot dishes, it's recommended to add them toward the end of the cooking process because they're just a little more delicate.
Okay.
And so some of the hardier herbs, your thyme, rosemary, oregano, they can be added earlier on to kind of in the simmering process. They're a little hardier and they can add, robust flavor earlier on in the dish.
And we started doing that with and boy, what a difference it makes in the food that you prepare.
Yeah,
it
fresh.
Really, oh my
John's
gosh.
Always raving about the fresh herbs.
Yeah.
It looks like herbs to me, but I read, I guess that's kind of from the French. They don't pronounce the H. It's like helicopter. We wouldn't say helicopter, But the thing I wanted to mention now.
But we digress.
This is a lot of really great information, and you're an MSU extension agent. Is it available in written form?
It will be on our website. It's still in the development stages, but all of this is available on the montana.edu website. If you just type in Harvest of the Month, you can pull up facts and information on different vegetables. This is a program that a lot of our local schools and educational sources subscribe to, but if you give me a call, we can definitely talk more about this too.
So the difference between an herb and a spice.
Okay, there we go. So the difference is what part of the plant you're using. So let's take cilantro, for example. The cilantro plant, if you use the leaves, that's cilantro, the herb.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use the seed, that is coriander, and that is a spice. So the herbs come from the leaves and the flowers, and then the spices typically come from the seeds of the plant.
Wow, we've been missing the coriander in our cilantro.
Oh, yeah, because you got to let it go to seed.
It does it pretty quickly. That's in fact, we have a hard time keeping it from going to seed, and we get mad and we toss it.
Now, the way you...
There you go.
Oh, that's coriander.
Yeah. The way you explained that means an herb is kind of the essence of what it is, right? Because the seed, a spice is more... potent or poignant or
sometimes the flavor is a little bit different and it would have a different use for it. So honestly, like I think they're both unique in their own right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But especially with herbs, there's even though you use them in small quantities, there's still health benefits to them. So herbs typically are rich in anti-inflammatory properties. They're a great source of vitamin C, K, and A. And sometimes studies have shown that herbs can help lower cholesterol. So it adds flavor without adding sugar or sodium, which a lot of households, can incorporate that kind of flavoring into their diet without increasing the sugar or salt intake for people on special diets. Hmm. And it's a great way to incorporate kids into the kitchen.
All right, let me get back to the coriander seeds. How do we chop up the seeds? What do we do?
I honestly have never looked into how to process the seeds to turn them into spices, but that might be a great topic for next month.
All right. Let's consider that because you have really got me thinking about that now, because I don't know how many thousand coriander seeds we have trashed because we got mad because it went to seed before we could get to it.
I don't know if ever used coriander in anything.
I've seen it. We've used it in several recipes.
I've seen it on the shelf in the grocery stores. Now, you mentioned all these herbs, and they are all real familiar to me, but are there any unique ones to Montana?
Okay, so there are some that are native to Montana. So we have wild mint is native to Montana. And that has, had been around and used by tribes all across Montana. Some of them put them dry into teas, but used as in teas, not only for flavor, but for medicinal properties as well. Bee balm is also a native herb to Montana. And chives, wild chives, are native to Montana.
Now, bee balm, interesting name. When I think of a balm, I think of bag balm. And this has got to be It's a plant, or what is it exactly?
Yeah, so it's an herb, and so you bring up a great point. So it's used for medicinal properties. Okay. So it was used to treat colds, mouth sores, and throat infections.
Yeah, that might come in handy in radio, John.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. And so now the next question is, how do we keep these things around until we need them?
So I just really recommend drying them or freezing them. Freezing is also a great way to keep them. Personally at home, we have a freezer bag full of frozen discs that have a little bit of olive oil and then the herbs right inside of them. You can do that with butter as well and just store them in the fridge. I usually use about a teaspoon of oil or a teaspoon of butter, about the amount that you would use for sauteing.
Okay.
But it depends what the herb is, where you add it into the cooking process. Some will be added at the beginning of the cooking process, mm-hmm. and some will be added in the middle and then towards the end too.
Yeah. But freezing them now, help and go over that again.
So you would take your, you know, after you gently wash and dry your fresh herbs.
Make sure they're dry.
Yeah. And you would just, you can put it in a little, we used cupcake tins. Mm-hmm. So that they would be nice and compact sizes. We put a little bit of olive oil in the bottom of it and then just drop the herb right in it. Put it in the freezer. Once it was solid, we threw it in a freezer bag. And now they're ready to go when we're ready to cook.
Now, do you cover them or anything in the freezer? You always think about other flavors or something.
So as they're freezing the process, I personally don't. They're only okay. in there. They're, you know, it doesn't take long to freeze. And so they're only in there for a short time. And then after that, they're sealed in a freezer bag, which keeps out other flavorings as well.
So freezing is the preferable method, because if you wanted dried up ones that were in bottles, you could go to the store, I suppose. But if you do have an excess of something and you wanted to dry it and store it and have it in containers, should they be out of the daylight? I mean, what are the rules?
Yes, so it's recommended to store your dried herbs out of the direct sunlight and kind of in a cool, dark location. And that just helps keep their freshness and helps them last. And it's recommended to only keep dried herbs for about a year.
Uh-oh. I think about the ones you buy in the grocery store,
yeah,
you know?
I mean, that's just for the freshest flavor. So whatever your practices are at home might differ from that recommendation. Your herbs have so many benefits, you know, not only for the flavor. So use them up.
Yeah.
I think what we've discovered is by using the herbs that we have in the garden, and we're planting more of them now in our garden than we have before, because, what's on the shelf has probably been there for a decade or more. And it's filler. It's not really much in the way of flavor anymore.
Yeah. It's really hard to say. But if you can either locally source fresh herbs and dry them yourself, you know, that not only is it just a fun hobby to have, but you can mm-hmm. really incorporate kids into that too. Incorporate kids into the cooking process, introduce them to what the herbs are and how they benefit the cooking process. You know, I have a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and I find that they are more engaged. When they're more engaged in the cooking process, they're more likely to enjoy the food and eat the food.
Okay. One more quick thing here, and that's in the garden with these herbs, any ideas on how to get the most out of it, the most flavor?
Oh, goodness. That would probably be a great question for a master gardener or our county agriculture extension agent. Mm-hmm. But from personal experience, there are differences. There's annuals and then perennials. So annuals are herbs that you might plant, but they're only going to last that one season, that one mm-hmm. year. And then perennials are going to come back for at least 2 years. So it really just depends on your soil, what soil type you have. We do offer soil testing in our office, or we don't test the soil in our office, but we have a soil probe that you can mm-hmm. borrow. And then you can send the soil sample off to get tested. And And just depends what you want to get out of it. We have mint that we planted a couple years ago, and then it just keeps surprises us year after year. We've gone 3 years, and it just pops up, and we go out and pick fresh mint. I made mint juleps this past summer, and it's just a fun fun thing to have. And it just takes care of itself.
Ashley, thank you so much for some great ideas. And as I say, it really makes a difference. We've been doing that since Elizabeth brought it up, and it really works. It really makes a difference.
Well, great. Thank you.
Thanks so much. And one thing, too, this I mentioned that for those who, you know, tend to overeat a little bit, like I do, having more flavor in the food, you eat less because you're satisfied sooner.
There you go.
So there.
Mindful
without
eating.
Any added salt or sugars.
Yeah, that's right. You savor every bite mindfully.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.